Hello everyone, this is TTM from Ginger's Bakery, back for another audio cap. Starting a new series today, it's called Annika, and we're actually starting in series 2. Annika is one of my favorite programs because it's so funny, and it has Nicola Walker. I love Nicola Walker. I've loved her since Last Tango in Halifax and River. She's fantastic in this, she's fantastic in Unforgotten. Or was Unforgotten. Oh gosh, it got dark there for a second. Yeah, she was the lead to series 4. Okay, we're going to leave that for now. Because right now we are talking about Annika. And it's wonderful. It started its life as a radio play, as I understand it. And I'm not going to go into any more detail because I feel like I don't know as much as I should about that. And there are some people on Twitter who will definitely set me straight. Which I actually appreciate, to be fair. That's not a slam. I really like it when people reach out and say, oh, hey, by the way, that's not right. And I say, oh, let me fix that, because I don't like to be wrong. I don't like to be intentionally wrong or purposely wrong. I'm accidentally wrong, literally all the time. So I don't mind being corrected. Before we get into it, let's do a little housekeeping. The audio engineering is done by my friend Charlie, who's amazing. Thank you so much. You can find the written recap on www.gingesbcray.com. There's lots of GIFs and pictures if you're into that kind of thing. You know. One of the things that I'm really happy about Annika is they brought it back really quickly. It was within a really short period of time. I mean, I felt like I waited forever for Happy Valley to come back, and I did. It was 7 years or longer. Like, I mean, you know, how do you even find the same actors that, and by that I mean they had a young actor. But Annika does not have a young actor. It has a teenage actors, and it's perfect timing because they came back right away. We're in series 2. Let's find out where we're going to roll in. We all watched season 1 of Annika, right? Because that's exactly where we pick up. Like, they're literally at the bar. Same thing. They just finished a case. There was maybe an explosion or two. There was definitely a chase. It was actually one of the best finales I've ever seen. Especially for, and I mean this in the best way, for English TV. English TV, I have found the shows that I watch tend to be a little bit more, what's the word? They don't throw a lot in their finales for emphasis, you know? They just have solid, amazing, fantastic programming all the time. They don't save it up and do one kaboom at the end. But a kaboom we did have at the end of Annika series 1, and we left them in a bar. Our main character is D.I. Annika Strandhead, played by Nicola Walker, and she just told us that her former police partner and now subordinate D.S. Michael McAndrews, played by Jamie Sivis, was previously also her other sort of partner, in fact, fathering her daughter, Morgan, played by Sylvie Ferneau. Nobody knows that but Annika, and she continues our discussion with us via the fourth wall, outside, telling us of a Scottish child ballad called The Great Silky of Sul Skerrie, which involved a man who turned into a seal when soggy and the woman who procreated with him and subsequently lost her child when the seal man ran off with the kiddo and got them both shot. Like, okay. Annika likes to speak in riddles, but I'm fully confident in saying that she didn't tell Michael she was pregnant with Morgan because she was afraid he would take her away. I feel confident with that. Not that Michael is a seal. Probably. Michael is now happily married with loads of kids, one more than he even knows. Oh, hey, and they're also investigators. And this party is cut short when Michael gets a call that a cell phone with a recording of a murder has been turned in. No rest for the soggy Or those that procreate with sea mammals. What? Oh, the recording on the phone is a video of a murder, not an audio call. And if you ever wondered my age, there it is. I'm like, how would they know it was a real audio recording? I'm like, oh gosh, so old. The video is of a man with blonde hair and blood all over his face being assaulted, then drowned, and was dropped off by a woman who scooted forthwith. Detectives DC Flair Ferguson, did I just call her Flair Ferguson? Blair Ferguson, played by Katie Leung, and DS Tyrone Clark, played by Ukweli Roach, are hot on her trail. By that, I mean Blair hits the young woman on her scooter and Tyrone chases her on foot. Tyrone always ends up chasing someone on foot. I should look up whether the actor was some kind of a track star. Hold on. Okay, well, he's a dancer and a choreography, which sometimes involves running. Very athletic, either way. Annika's boss, DCI Diane Oban, played by Kate Dickie. Remember her from Game of Thrones? She was a super creepy mother in the sky with a hatch. Anyways, she's Scottish. She's here. She's worried about Annika taking up a case so quickly after the last, with zero sleep in between. At least that's what I think she said. Her Scottish accent is thicker than a month of Sundays covered in ice cream. Annika should do a DB Prosser and also take Diane's car, which Annika can talk to instead if she doesn't want to talk to a psychologist because it's a talkie car. I have one of those. I have a talkie car. Morgan gets picked up for school by Michael's wife, Astrid McAndrews, played by Cora Bousset, after making her give a password. You know, my kids have a password, like a safe word that they have to hear, and they absolutely will never remember it. I'm still excited they have one. Astrid's a little confused, has to do a little calling around, but she seems lovely. Well, Annika and Michael check on the home of the young lady who dropped off the phone. Her mom, Justine Dunn, played by Patricia Panther, denies her daughter is there. Annika does a clever little thing. She's full of clever little things, and finds the girl on a ledge. Annika tries her best, but she's rigid with fear of heights, with Shaisha Dunn, played by Chelsea Caisson, seems to find interesting enough to stop running off. Aisha was running perhaps because she stole the phone from an old Asian man about Annika's age. Annika is maybe early 40s. So old, really? But Aisha was freaked out when she saw what was on it. Blair and Tyrone find the body of Dean Malone, played by Charlie Paulette, and a witness, an unhoused person near the water. At Dean's apartment, we find out he was a cruise entertainment manager. Julie from Love Boat? Fired for gross misconduct 3 weeks before and died sporting an unrealistic tan. He left behind a hungry fish, which prompts Annika to try to tell Michael again that he's even more of a dad than he previously thought, but his huffing the fish food slash weed throws her off her game. She'll try again another time. Is that because he's supposed to be a seal? I don't know. I didn't pick that context up the first time. Annika rescues the possibly high fish and goes home to bond with her daughter. Annika's feeling her own mortality after the recent explosion she was almost a part of. She's now thinking of Michael as less of a daughter thief, more as a backup in case something happens to her. It's Blair interviewing Dean Malone's boss, Kimmy Blake, played by Alicia Welch, who recently fired Dean for being a floating drug dealer, and the lifeguard too, when Dean implicated him as well. Richie McAvoy, played by Joe Rising, was pissed. Allow me to say, why would you A, murder someone you recently demonstrated a grudge against, and B, videotape yourself doing such, and C, allow the recording, made for whatever reason, to fall out of your control? It makes no sense. Yet. Blair sees Annika walking through the station and runs after her with news. She's a wee bit pregnant. Annika has a really surprising reaction. She doesn't think Blair should carry a taser. How did she jump into the river to save her? And oh, by the way, she loves her. Blair and I are confused by that statement. They haven't worked together that long. But Annika is still concussed, she confesses. So she's going to be super emotional about this. I feel like I'm super emotional about literally everything. So I will keep that excuse in my back pocket. Michael, Tyrone, and Aisha, the witness, post up at the train station where Aisha nicked the phone off a gentleman in a suit. Annika rolls up just after Tyrone reveals he's applied for a job as an inspector. That would mean a transfer. Interesting. Aisha's a terrible witness. She's worried about getting spotted, and then she full-on shouts, "Him!" while pointing at a gentleman with bruises and a natty navy suit. So of course Tyrone has to chase someone on foot again. It's been ages since the last. She was so worried she was going to get spotted, and there she is. Like, anyways. "Hello, Rihan Harjan," played by Pal Aron. "The team has found your phone. Good news, and you're very welcome." He doesn't have any sort of record. Michael questions how much faith Annika is putting in the word of a teenager just because she has one. Allow me to point out, Rihan ran like a headless chicken the moment he saw Aisha pointing at him. The team has found evidence of someone following Dean previous to his death. It looks like Richie McAvoy, the drug-dealing lifeguard. His face does not match the person the unhoused person described in her police drawing, but he is wearing a red hat identical to the one found near the body. When questioned, Richie tries to bluff and gives up how mad he was, also saying he gave up his red hat to arch nemesis Dean so that Dean could get a discounted services at a club. Okay. Annika and Michael question Rihan together. Showing him the video, which his lawyer thinks is unacceptable, but which Rihan cannot stop staring directly at while I watch my fingers. Long story short, too late. Rihan has an alibi and only ran because he dodged his train fare, which always results in several plainclothes police persons shouting and running after you. Michael helpfully points out that Rihan had a load of train tickets in his wallet, making that a load as well. It's going to take a little bit of time for everyone to adjust to Blair being pregnant. They're treating her very, very carefully. I'm still trying to adjust because I thought she was gay, and that tied into the storyline of Morgan exploring her sexuality last season. Not that you can't be pregnant and gay. You totally can. Just takes a bit more mucking about, and she implied her pregnancy was unexpected. Annika gives us updates on her thinking about the whole seal baby daddy thing as we investigate. She thinks the woman in the story didn't trust the seal, but she trusts Michael because he was just a man, which is slippery enough. We meet Rihan's alibi. His sister Nila Harjan, played by Liz Jadaf, who gives super giddy answers to everything she's asked about her brother, but still manages to give a very negative impression of him all the same. He blamed everyone else for all and any of his misfortunes. Blair has found some crucial CCTV footage. It's our victim Dean in Richie's red cap, pulling Rihan out of the window of a cab and beating him absolutely to shite. I was wondering about the welt Rihan was sporting on his temple. After the beating, another cab pulled up and picked up Rihan, literally off the ground. Guess who that was? A former military man who matched the identikit drawing from the unhoused person of the murderer and who presumably just texted the burner phone with the murder video on it, looking for payment. Jaden Stanton, played by Martin Pemberton, has done time for assault and lives where the burner phone was purchased. It was then, dear reader, that I remembered they do a different case every episode of Annika, not every series, say, is in Unforgotten or Guilt. Rehan confesses right away when confronted by Blair and Tyrone with the evidence they have. Now he's going to help them catch Jaden, the actual murderer. Annika goes over her plan of attack with her boss, Diane, who is more worried about Annika not having done the psychological counseling after the last series of dangerous events, approximately 5 minutes ago. But Annika figures Diane's car is being very supportive. Annika figures it out. Her worries about telling Michael that Morgan is his daughter looks like PTSD from the outside. Rehan waits with Cash under all sorts of surveillance as it drags on, making it a very hurry-up-and-wait sort of stakeout. Well, maybe that's all stakeouts. I don't know. They do get Jaden, but then Rehan makes a run for it with the cash, which isn't even real cash, and knocks himself out. I mean, it's all a bit tawdry. Rehan, what are you going to do? You're on, literally on six cameras right now. Annika tries again to tell Michael about Morgan, and he drags her into a family scrum with his wife and kids. This is Annika's real and new concern, that Morgan will prefer Michael, his wife, and all those sisters to play with instead of her solitary existence with her mom. So Annika does not tell him, nor Morgan, and nobody's a seal as far as I can tell. We are out! The best thing about Annika is Nicola Walker, and the second best thing is the writing by Nick Walker. No relation I'm aware of. And the third thing is the acting of all the clever lines by this extraordinarily deft cast. It really, it's so funny. Like, I hope you're watching it, because not only is it funny, it's just very clever. It's that type of funny, and I really, really, really dig it. They do a lot of fairy tales. I'm not going to lie. There's like, I think we started off with Moby Dick. That's where we started series one. So he does like his big metaphors and his fairy tales and his stuff. And I dig it. Until next time, I'm TTM. Be sure to, I don't know, would liking matter? You could review it, or you could just tell me if something sucks. I would really enjoy that, because I am all about making things suck less. You can reach me on our website, www.gingesbcray. And I will talk to you next time. Thanks again to Charlie. Cheers.